Lord, we are thankful for your loving kindness. Lord, we are thankful that you are about the business of bringing us into glory. Lord, that your purposes would be fulfilled through your people. Lord, we ask that you would show us, open our eyes, help us to see that which we cannot see otherwise but by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for the work of your Spirit among us. And Lord, we thank you that you are active and your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. We ask you, Lord, to bless this brief time in your precious name. Amen. Just have a few minutes, and really, I feel quite unprepared. I feel like I've been pursuing a moving target, and surely it is a living target, in the matter of faith. And I've shared several times before. And so let me just remind you what you already know. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then again in chapter 12, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What I believe the Lord has been put on my heart and what I've been trying to share, trying to bring out of the word is an understanding of faith that is, I don't think, it's not what, certainly not what I grew up understanding. In other words, faith is misunderstood by a lot of believers because we take it as something that we must have to do anything, or that we need to have enough faith for things to happen that we want to have happen. And I don't see that here. Faith is surely, it is for us. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's not saying that if you have this conviction, something's going to happen, or what you want to have happen will happen. It is believing that the Lord has it all in his hands. I've shared a couple of different things on this, and one of them is about testimony of Jesus, that is a builder of faith, that the Lord is the author of faith. It says in chapter 12, and as the author, he is causing it to be seen. He is bringing it forth in us. And as the perfecter of faith, he is causing us to know him more and to have greater faith. I spoke last time, and it's been several weeks ago, about the degrees of faith that the Lord says there is great, something called great faith, and there's something called little faith. read the passage about this Roman centurion. And one account is, there are two accounts of this. But in chapter 8 of Matthew, he says, when it entered Capernaum, Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him and saying, "Sir, my servant is lying paralyzed at home and suffering great pain." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not qualified for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. And I say to you that many shall come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, in a place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, let it be done as you have believed." And the centurion and the servant was healed that very hour. Now this is described as great faith. There's another passage coming up here at the end of this chapter where the Lord describes little faith. What I've seen here and what I want to try to share with you is that, well, let me ask a question. If the centurion had not had great faith, would his servant have been healed? Was it the centurion's great faith that caused him to be healed? If he'd had greater faith, could he have healed a whole village of... I'm being a little bit silly here, and but I want you to consider. It's not the great faith that healed the servant, was it? Who healed the servant? That his faith, the centurion's great faith, was in the Master, in the Lord Jesus, in the one who had authority, in the one in whom he recognized authority. So, well, I want to come back to that. Hold this question. What was the point of the faith? All right, let's go down, and at the end of the chapter, Jesus said, "Follow me." And he got in a boat, verse 23, he got in a boat and his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm in the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he himself was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you timid, you men of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Little faith. Did the size of their faith affect the calming of the storm, the being rescued from their situation? That they were afraid they were going to die or be cast into the sea and probably drowned. What did the Lord say to them? "Why are you so timid, you men of little faith?" The little faith is why they were timid. It wasn't the little faith that was protecting them. It wasn't faith that was protecting them. It was the Lord Jesus that was protecting them. It was the Lord Jesus who they correctly said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Their faith was small. They were afraid. So what's faith about? What was the faith that the centurion had? What was the faith for? The faith gave him, the centurion, an absolute assurance. He had no doubt in his mind that Jesus could speak the word. He did not have to go to his house. He did not have to do anything but say a word, and his servant would be healed. This is a man filled with understanding and assurance that Jesus was the Son of God. The disciples, on the other hand, in the boat were overwhelmed by the fear that they had of the sea, of the wind, of being drowned. They were timid. That was what the little faith was about. It didn't affect the Lord Jesus' ability to calm the storm. He proved himself to them by calming the storm. The testimony of Jesus came forth that he has the power to, nature obeys him. Faith is, the Lord Jesus says in another place, and I don't have the reference right here in front of me, but he says, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, and I mentioned this the last time when I spoke, is the Lord trying to talk about how much faith is necessary? Now, I did go and look it up, looked up on the internet. You know how big a mustard seed is? It's little. It's like 2 millimeters. Well, 2 millimeters, 2.5 millimeters, is 1/100th of an inch. So that's pretty small. But it's not about the small or the large. It's about who the faith is in. It's Jesus. It's the Son of God. It's the power of God working through him. That is what accomplishes the work. The faith is just I don't want to say this wrong. Please consider before the Lord if this upsets you the way I'm speaking it. But faith is for us. Faith is for us to, you know, personal testimony. I shared this at one time earlier in talking about faith. The Lord spoke to me one time. The Lord assured me that he was my rock. And I believe it. I have the assurance that he is the rock on which I stand. That nothing can sweep me away from him. Nothing can sweep me away from him. I have that faith right now. I have need of it every moment, I suppose. But I have no specific need of it. It's not faith that I need to deal with an issue, but it is something that I am reminded of, and I call on the Lord Jesus in that faith when things happen that are unsettling or causing me anxiety, and I realize that there's nothing to be anxious about. He is faithful to take care of me, to take care of the situations, the circumstances. He is accomplishing his will. He is accomplishing his purpose. It's not a matter of how much faith do I have? Am I a strong believer? Am I a weak believer? I don't want to be a weak believer. I want to be a strong believer. I want to know him more. I want him to perfect faith within me, to complete it, to cause it to grow and be part of, to be the basis of my living relationship with Him. That's what faith is for. That's my understanding. That's what I'm seeing here. You know, all these witnesses that chapter 11 of Hebrews speaks of, it doesn't say that faith caused Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. It says that he believed God, and God was going to have him do this. He walked in the way he would walk. Let me go back to the other example I used. The woman that had the hemorrhage for years and years and years. And she came to Jesus. She was unclean. She came to Jesus, and she touched the hem of his garment, and she believed, she had faith to believe that if she touched the hem of his garment, he would heal her. And as soon as she touched him, he knew that power had gone out from him. He didn't even have to call it forth. He didn't know she was there, at least according to the scripture. He didn't know her need. She came bringing her need to him, and she touched him, and she was healed. And he says to her, "Your faith has healed you." Now, I don't believe that means what it sounds like it means. It wasn't her faith that healed her. It was that she had the faith and she came and she laid her hand on the Son of God. And his power, according to his purpose, according to the word, that the word would be there for us to see, that faith brought her to the source of power that healed her. She was healed by Jesus, not by her faith. Is that clear? I don't want to mess this up. I'm going to try to do this very quickly, and if I mess it up, I'll try to come back to it another time. Mary and Martha, Lazarus. Mary and Martha are the sisters of Lazarus. They were great friends of Jesus. Jesus stayed with them when he was in the area. He lived in, came in their home. They fed him. He had fellowship with them. They knew him. They loved him. He loved them. And the several incidents in the scripture that talk about Mary and Martha, and of course, the famous one with me is, you know, they're serving Jesus, they're serving this gathering of a meal, and Martha is so upset with busy trying to make sure everything goes right. She wants it to go perfectly. She wants to honor the Lord. And Mary, her sister, is sitting there, and she says, you know, Jesus, this isn't right. She's sitting there, and I'm doing all the work. Tell her to come and help me. And the Lord says to her, your sister has chosen the better part. You're worried about many things. Only one is necessary. So Mary gets kudos, as it were. She was there listening at the feet of Jesus, listening, and that was the place she should be. Absolutely, without doubt. Martha is rebuked, straightened out, if nothing else. There's another incident. Lazarus gets sick. Lazarus dies. Their brother is dead. Jesus is not there. And he says, he states quite openly in that passage that he stayed away on purpose. He could have gone to them. They sent word to him. And he could have gone. Well, he does come after several days, and Lazarus has been dead now for 4 days. And Martha comes out to him, and I want to say, and you can argue with me if you wish, that's fine, you don't have to agree, but Martha came to him in faith. She spoke words of faith to him. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, I am guilty. I have wrapped her around on all of these things because I've called her a legalist and all sorts of stuff. And that's wrong. She believed, I don't believe she was saying, Lord, if you'd just shown up, he wouldn't have died. She was saying, she was speaking a fact. If he had been there, he would not have died. Lazarus would not have died. Jesus had the power. She knew he had the power to heal. She trusted him as healer. She knew what she knew. But here's the Lord Jesus perfecting faith. She says, even now I know that he will rise again. But Jesus opens her faith, opens her mind. He tells her, I am the resurrection and the life. Right now, I am. I'm not just the healer whom you believe in, whom you trust, whom you have faith in, whom you love. But I'm also the resurrection. You haven't seen that, but now you're going to. And Mary comes out. Mary is still Mary. She is overwhelmed emotionally. She says the same, you know, if you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. And she was much more emotional than Martha. But nonetheless, she had faith. She believed. And they struggled. They said, you know, he said, where have you taken him? Roll the stone away. And we've talked about this. Rick had a great message on unbinding him. But the fact was that he came out of the grave. He was made alive. They didn't quite understand what was going to happen. But the Lord Jesus gave them a testimony by raising Lazarus from the dead. They expected when they rolled the stone away that there would be a terrible stench because he'd been in there for 4 days. But what came forth was life, a resurrected life. So faith, and Mary was struggling. She just as we struggle when there are difficulties, when there is death. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is able to raise from the dead. The Lord will cause all things that he has promised come to pass. We can believe it and trust it, and he will lead us in the way that we should go. All right. Lord, I pray that you will take what I've said and filter out anything that is unhelpful. Lord, that your word will be understood, and Lord, that your desire for us to have a living faith in you, to walk with you, to be perfected in the knowledge of you, that we might go forward and do what you would have us do, that we might be the servant that you want us to be, as our brother Ed shared. Lord, that you can live your life through us. We praise you and we thank you for all that you're doing. In your precious name, amen.